Would you introduce yourself, please?
I'm Sophie from Soccer Mommy.
Ah, so now there's, let's start right there before I get into some of the fun stuff. You just did yourself as kind of like, I have a t-shirt that I just bought that's my favorite expression. I finally found a t-shirt with it. Department of Redundancy Department.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, because so I am Soccer Mommy.
That's what I'm saying. So you're Sophie from Soccer Mommy.
It's, well, because it's weird, you know, but it you sounds like a band.
Have a backup band. So it's interesting because one of the things that gets talked about a lot is who you really are. So there's an expectation now of you as Soccer Mommy. I'll do it, Nina. As Soccer Mommy.
Woo!
Right?
Yeah.
But that's a hard expectation to fulfill when you have to be both Sophie and Soccer Mommy.
Definitely, yeah.
Like you look in the mirror and you're like, which one am I?
I'm just me.
Well, but that's the point.
It's never actually been that hard for me because I just don't feel like I'm just, it's just me still. You know, I don't feel like, I think I have a warped view of how many people pay attention to me.
Okay, warped, which we're going to get to that. We're going to get to the hype because mm-hmm. one of my favorite things. But warped, which way? Which way is that swirly mirror going, more or less?
Less.
That's
like,
good.
I don't think people, you know, like...
That's good.
I'm like, this is... I don't think people are going to come to the show.
That is a really...
And then
well,
people come and it's
several,
like...
I was at several shows at South By and I've got some really bad news for you.
People came.
People show up.
I'm always just like, they must have wandered in.
Yeah, right. It's like, oh, you know, that sounds like a funny name for a thing.
They
I'll just
wandered
show up
into
for...
the show.
Yeah. Now, this is what's really kind of interesting is debut album.
Mm-hmm.
Theoretically, it's a
the
debut.
It's the big moment.
It's the big moment. We've got your DIY. We've got your Bandcamp tracks. We've got your studio with a full band. We got, now this is the one. Music since age 5 or 6, depending on which interview you read.
Yeah, 5 or 6. I because, usually you know, say 5 or 6.
But it makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know, the difference between 5 and 6 in your developmental process, if you started playing music at 5 versus 6, the music would be entirely different.
Maybe. Who knows?
It could be. What does someone miss immediately? Like at this point in a conversation, what do you think they miss immediately?
I think they don't. I'm always surprised that people don't ask me more about me. Like, as a person outside of the music, I think it's usually about, like, the persona of Soccer Mommy rather than my personal, like, life and what I do. And, like, they don't usually ask me about things I talk about a lot on, like, my Twitter. Like, anxiety doesn't come up a lot.
But where was that moment that you kind of said, oh, I'm making something here. I'm not just doing other people's stuff.
I think when I started seriously learning guitar was in middle school.
And that was
12.
Lessons. That was real live lessons.
Yes. Like, I mean, I was always taking lessons where I'd learn like chords and everything, every lesson, since like within a year of getting that toy guitar.
But you're talking about really learning guitar and knowing
yes,
how to
like
jazz phrasing
stuff.
And sounds.
Like, yeah.
And...
like learn it, like having to, you know, have some sort of discipline about it rather than just learning what I wanted to learn. But I was always writing. I was writing from the very start. And I think that's why I usually say I've played since then, is because I was just constantly writing since a child. And that's, I think of myself more as a writer and a guitar player than a, like a singer.
Than a vocalist.
Yeah.
Than a singer-songwriter. But the Nashville Boys Club in rock and roll, I mean, the Nashville Boys Club in country, well, the women have managed to kick, you know, the Tammy Wynettes of the world and the,
yeah.
you know, they managed, you know, the Loretta Lynns, they managed to kick the boys' butt in so many ways.
Yeah.
They've won. But in rock and roll, breaking out, tell me a little bit about that.
It's hard, especially in a town like Nashville. It's definitely a boys' club. And I don't think anyone in the underground, like, young music scene is... I mean, not anyone. There are some people who are a little sexist, like, purposefully. But I think, in general, everyone wants to support women playing music and, you know, is generally not sexist. Most guys can be a little sexist sometimes, not purposefully. But generally, people want to support it. I think the problem is it's just not encouraging. It just doesn't have an encouraging atmosphere at all for women to be playing rock music, so people don't start playing it. It's like young girls, in the same way that young guys in high school at least where I went to high school, like got into like the local like punk scene and rock scene and just started out, you know, learning their instrument, learning to be in a band. Women weren't encouraged to do it in the same way.
So where was the moment that you said, you know, okay, I'm doing this, but you really did take your time to learn stuff before you said, okay, now I'm going to see if I can do something with this. And when you originally went to NYU, your intent was not to leave, right?
It was not my intent to leave. I did not think I was going to be doing music for a living at all. I thought it would be a side thing. I had just started recording, and like I had decided the summer before I went to college that I like wanted to learn to record stuff, gotten that 8-track and started like messing around with it. So I thought it was just gonna be a hobby, something I did for fun. Maybe I would get a, like, you know, maybe I would decide I wanted to do it for like recording for a living and try to go into like audio engineering or something. But
so it'd be back of house, not front of house.
Yes.
Right.
I did not think it would be a
playing
situation. So
then what possessed you to put the stuff up on Bandcamp? If you were kind of like, you know, I don't know.
Because I liked it. I just liked how it turned out, I think. I think when I recorded some of the early songs, people I knew had, like, put stuff on Bandcamp, released stuff themselves on Bandcamp. Not in as, like, a lo-fi way. I feel like more people had, like, done a little bit of nicer recordings and stuff. But, yeah, I guess I just liked how they turned out. I was not expecting, because I had only, everything I had written with, you know, except for like one or two songs I had tried to record and done kind of, you know, not super great on. Pretty much everything I had written had just been guitar and vocal. And I kind of wanted to see, I didn't know how they were going to turn out when I added, you know, bass and maybe a lead guitar part and drums, synths, whatever I was going to add. And so if they turned out well, I was like, I'll put it up. Maybe some people will like it, and that'll be cool.
This is the line of the album.
Mm-hmm.
It's a year of your life.
I think that something I try to do when I'm writing is not necessarily like, you know, just tell exactly my story. That's like, this is exactly what happened to me. I use things that have happened to me many, you know, I use like something that happened to me when I liked this guy and didn't work out. And then I used something that happened to me when I was insecure about something completely different, but I felt a similar way. And I used something when I moved, and I piece all of it together to get this feeling that I've had many
times. So it's
a
year of life, but it's not a literal year of life. It's a year of life and all the things that went into the stew.
Yes.
Kind of put together.
It's like a year of my life, but sometimes, you know, sometimes in that year I felt things that threw me back to feeling small as like a, you know, early teen or something. You know, it's like it's all about this time period of my life, but in that time I felt things that, you know, made me feel like I felt a million times before. And I think that's why people that are older can relate to it, is because it's not, while it does pick from these things in my life that aren't specific to them at all, it, like, kind of, you know, sews together a feeling that a lot of people have had, even if they're not like, oh my God, that happened to me.
So speaking
like
of feelings, I love this quote. Mm-hmm. I get the lingering feeling everyone is waiting for me to F up.
Is that from my Twitter?
That's, yeah. I love that.
It's a constant looming feeling.
But I love that because it's real. So that feeling of effing up, is it, would you say that that's also what drives you to do what you do?
I think so. I think it drives me to really not want to fuck up.
Right.
Or F up, if you want to edit that. I remember in elementary school thinking that Harvard was going to look at my grades in third grade. Like, I've had it my whole life. The worry that anything I do at any given moment is going to ruin the rest of my life and the rest of my career for the future.
And how's that working out so far?
It's, you know, I haven't messed up too bad.
It seems like I've been doing okay. Seems to be doing okay.
So I always pull it together right at the end before I really F up.
Okay.
I pull whatever it is together.
You haven't been at this that long, but the thing about doing what you're doing at the level you're doing it now is you wise up. Amy Mann says, you know, she has a song called Wise Up. You wise up really fast.
Yeah.
And you get this level of maturity and business And what's interesting is that artists never had to really know the business. But I know that Fat Possum emailed you, but how many suitors were there before you signed? And how did you know? How did you know?
There were a couple people, actually. There was like another... There was a lawyer who wanted to introduce me to a bunch of people.
Oh, of course there was.
There was another label that seemed really cool, who I actually like a lot, that was interested. The reason I went with Fat Possum was simply because I was like, it was, you know, a one album plus an option of a second album.
So that's really safe. That's really good, right? Yeah. One album with an option four, because that goes right back to the, wait a minute, what if I F up?
Yeah, exactly.
I have an out.
Exactly. It was, I mean, really what I thought was I didn't have anyone, you know, I had one other label interested, but this one was, you know, pretty big, and I was like, oh, I mean, what else am I doing? Why not put out an album with someone? I didn't really have any thoughts of, like, what if someone better comes along? Because they're all just labels. If I put out a good album, you know, I had creative control. It was a really simple contract. I got an advance, and, like, that would just come out of, you know, royalties. I read through it. I took it to a lawyer to make sure it was all pretty sound.
And
but
you
it was
own
simple.
Your publishing, and you own your syncs, and you own all your other
yes,
stuff.
Yes, exactly. It was, of course. You know, it was all pretty, like, simple. And I was just like, I mean, it'd be cool to make an album of first some, you know, old releases, kind of beef them up a little bit. That was actually something I wanted to do with a lot of the old demos I had, because I liked them. We were playing them live. So I was like, I could do that and then release a album. And then, I mean, I'm not really promising anything else, you know?
So, Gabe, mm-hmm. It's funny because as I was listening to the record on the way here, and I tracked it, you know, again on the way here. I mean, I've played lots of tracks, but I did it with this in mind, which is I didn't realize how much he played on the record. He played a lot of stuff. So you walked in and you had a really good sense of what you wanted to do, but you've already been quoted as saying he had good ideas. So give me an example of a good idea.
This is a simple one, but one of the things that I loved and made me love how the track turned out was on Wildflowers. Really all of Wildflowers was really amazing to watch him like kind of transform it a little bit. But when we did it, we tracked the vocal and the guitar at the same time.
So you did it live?
Yes, we did it live, and we did it with the vocal mic going through a PA and like doing a double track of the vocal with a mic and a mic going through a PA.
Wow, that's kind of geeky and fun. So that gives you like a reverse reverb kind
of
thing.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it made the vocal sound beautiful. And then he added the beat on the track. And I was like, this is super cool. It sounded like super 2000s, which is exactly what I wanted. And I hadn't even told him that.
He got it.
Yes, he just got it. He just got like what I liked and... like could totally, you know, it's like he could probably tell what my influences were without me even telling him. And so he got what I liked. And all I told him when I met him the first time was I said I wanted it to sound like sitting in a field in the South in the middle of the summer at night.
Okay, I'm going to be dangerous here.
Go for it.
So if you go out on a date now, is the guy too aware of who you are?
I have a boyfriend, so I don't have to worry about it. And guess what? It's the same guy from the album.
Do tell.
He's playing in the band tonight. You'll see him. He's playing guitar for me now. And he's my boyfriend of 2 years, almost.
So I saw him at South By, too.
You saw him at South By, yeah.
So now, we've just blown this here. Because now
we've blown
all,
it wide open.
Because all, you've just blown the whole soccer mommy thing.
Yeah.
Because all the guys that are like hopeful, that are watching you up on stage and saying she's available, but she's very insecure, and I just don't know.
I hope
I'm gonna win here, man.
No way.
Isn't that cool, though? So now that the secret is out, that you're not alone and you're not sad, but when you write the next record, what's it gonna be about?
I've already started it, but you know, I still can't tell what the whole thing is gonna be.
Because you're in a different place.
Yeah.
You're writing it from such a different place than
you... Then I will be in the year.
That's what I'm saying.
I'll be totally... But I think the way I feel now is that I have the same issues in different ways.
They don't go away.
They don't go away, and it's kind of like I'm crazy. It's kind of like there's a little bit of a monster inside of me that has this, like, you know, this dysmorphia of, like, image and of what love is, even. You know, what, like...
Even with... Now, that's fascinating. Mm-hmm. Even with the boyfriend.
Even with the boyfriend. And I love him, and I'm in a very happy place with him, but it doesn't change the deep anxiety I have to a level of, like, you know, physical... inner, you know, physical issues from anxiety.
So that... And I'll take this...
And, ooh, self-destruction.
Yeah. Well,
that's
okay.
There.
Thank
always going to be there.
Guess what? That's where I was going to go. So you know what's really fascinating, and this, and for I'm not gonna give you hope here.
Yeah, it's not gonna go.
Okay, but crazy, and I want to clear this up before we get to the last thing. This is really important, and I think it's important for people to understand that because people get scared, right? They're gonna be like, uh oh, there's crazy, and you know, look at the logo on your right.
Yeah.
So there's crazy, and self-destructive.
And then there's dangerous.
And then
to
there's
yourself.
Dangerous.
Yes. Well, I mean, I've made it this far. I've had it my whole life. I've made it this far.
Ooh, that's a good close. I like that.
I'll do it.
That's fair game. I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside. And then you get to play anything you want in between.